We've been spending a little time on Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We've been discussing the fact that as you talk to people, not everybody believes that baptism has a part in salvation or that baptism is the way that God remits sins or forgives sins, but that's what the Bible teaches, and there are a lot of people who strongly object to that, and they offer a lot of different objections. Last week, if you're in the class, we talked about a Greek preposition. We're not going to get overly technical, but I do think since this is something that a lot of people do try to bring up, it's worth discussing. It's spelled E-I-S. Some Greek professors would pronounce it ace. Some would pronounce it ice. I grew up with ice, but the more prevalent view is probably ace. And the question is, as you look at this preposition, which way is it looking? Is it forward-looking? Well, maybe we should put that in blue. Is it forward-looking, which is what I maintain is correct, or is it rearward-looking? And the significance of that, you can see it from Acts 2, verse 38. Be baptized. Ace or ice for the forgiveness of sins. If that's looking forward, then that's be baptized what? So your sins can be forgiven. You're baptized and then your sins are forgiven. If this ace or ice is looking rearward, then that would say be baptized because, since your sins have been forgiven, therefore now you need to be baptized. So the direction that ace or ice looks at is really, really important. One of the points that we made, because we had about 5 minutes in the last class period, last time that we're a little bit extra, we pointed out how from Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, Jesus uses this same preposition. And he said that his blood was going to be shed. What's the preposition? Ace or ice for the forgiveness of sins. Here again, you can see the importance of which way this preposition is looking. If he was going to die on the cross, if that blood was being shed, ice or ace for the forgiveness of sins, if that's forward-looking, then that would mean I'm going to die so you can have forgiveness of sins. If it's rearward-looking, then that meant what? I'm dying because sins have already been. And people would say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you go to the cross if sins had already been forgiven? So the direction that ace or ice looks at is really, really important. Now, building on that, let's give you some additional details. This little preposition is translated ace or ice. It's used more than 1,700 times in the New Testament. Sometimes when you have a word in the New Testament that we want to study, you look at it and you think, okay, it's only used once or twice or it's used half a dozen times. That's not true here. So 1,700 times we find this in the New Testament. And the King James translation is obviously not the only translation, but it's been around for probably as many years as any other English translation in recent times. It goes back into the 1600s. And as you look at all the places, King James, King James, out of all the places where it is translated, this preposition, how many times do you think it's translated because of? Zero. Now let that sink in for just a second. This preposition translated ace or ice, we've got to figure out whether it looks for in order to receive forward or whether it looks backwards because of. Or just put it that way. For, or unto, or because of. King James, 1,700 times. Zero times. Now that becomes pretty significant. And somebody says, well, look, I've got the King James translation, and I've been reading through there, and I've found more than 40 times in the King James, and this is certainly true, where I do find the words because of. So the King James translators were certainly familiar with those two words. They used those words, I believe, a total of 42 times. But if you go back and you begin to look at those passages, 41 times, excuse me, you find that it is not this preposition, ice. It's a different preposition, dia. So, looking at it, like I say, you could take just any translation and go through it, but the King James has been around so long, it's been highly regarded for several years. I think that's very, very significant. So when somebody comes along, or if you ever have the opportunity, and I've had this multiple times over the years, somebody said, well, if you just understood that preposition, ace or ice, in Acts 2, verse 38, it means because of. It doesn't. So that would be one way to demonstrate that. Now, any questions that you have over that we talked about thus far? Okay. In today's world, not just in religion, in life in general, people often want an exception, don't they? People like exceptions?
Yes.
We know it's this way, but we need an exception. Our case is special. So we've got this preposition translated ace or ice 1,700 times in the New Testament. And again, you find that it is looking forward instead of backwards. So, if you're going to argue that in Acts 2, verse 38, people were baptized not in order to receive the forgiveness of sins, but they were to be baptized because sins have already been forgiven, with those 1,700 times, what do you need to find?
At least one.
You've got to find some exceptions. And here's a case, which it doesn't match up very well with logic, but here's a case where people sort of want to take the exception and make it the rule. That's not good. But anyway, let's take that, because people will say, and I've actually had this argument made, and it's not necessarily by preachers, by somebody who's really heavily involved with the faith-only movement, and they would say, well, we do have. Yes, we've got almost 2,000 times where that preposition ace or ice is used, but you've got just a few passages, just two or three, that have this preposition ace or ice, and it means because of. So I want to take a look at that. Let's take a look at these verses and see what is said about them. You've got two that refer to Nineveh. So if we look at one, which we'll pick Matthew 12, verse 41, we could also look at the parallel, which is in Luke chapter 11, verse 32. And then the other one is going to be Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Now bear in mind that these three verses have this preposition ace. And people will use these verses to say, oh, look, ace over here or ice over here means because of, and that's got to be the meaning back there in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Well, let's start with that first passage, Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. Is there anybody there? Maxine? All right, if you read that verse for us, that would be helpful.
The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, before I give you a definition for that, I will tell you that as the scholars, the people who define Greek words, have looked at this, this is what they call, as far as that rearward looking, they call that a casual use of ace or ice. And as they looked at these passages, here's what the guys who were really skilled in Greek said. It is highly doubtful. Now that's a nice way of saying no. But when you've got the Greek scholars who come along and take a look at this and say, we're familiar that people will turn to these passages. Now, they don't want to say for theological reasons, because you don't like baptism for forgiveness of sins. But they'll look at that and say that is highly doubtful. That's just really hard to believe. But anyway, people ignore that, and they'll come over to Matthew 12, verse 41. And let's read it one more time, but put in because of.
The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Because,
okay, that's fine.
They repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed, a greater than Jonah is here.
Okay, now you can see why people would use that passage. Ace, why did they repent? Because, since Jonah preached. Well, that's true. There's no doubt about that. But as you look at how the Greek people who define that, they say they repented, ice or in the face of. Not because of, even in that passage, but it's in the face of. And then you've got the other passage, which is back there in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Has anybody turned back there?
I'm there.
All right. If we'll look at that one as well.
And they baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Baptize you unto repentance. Here again, people would say, well, that means baptized because of.
I understand why they make that point, but as you go back and you look at the people who define Greek words, they, and this is a specific definition from one good source, they say repentance is the goal, but it's also the consequence of repentance. So you do have slightly different uses of ace in Matthew 12:41/Luke 11:32, Matthew 3:11, but those slightly different uses do not come out to because of. So that's why I said earlier, when you look at these men who have invested their lives in Greek scholarship, they say, look, of the 1,700 times ace or ice is used in the New Testament, it simply does not mean because of, even in these passages where people have gone through. Now imagine that. You know, you're going through, you're sifting through 1,700 verses, trying to find an exception so that you can disprove what's said in Acts 2:38. That, to me, is beyond desperate. But that's the level at which some have gone to try to show that the ace or the ice in Acts 2:38 does not mean for or in order to receive the forgiveness of sins. In fact, if you go back and you look at some of the people who define Greek words, when they talk about that ace or ice in Acts 2:38, one source, this was Thayer, an old lexicographer, he said to obtain the forgiveness of sins. Probably the best lexicon in our day and time defines it as for forgiveness of sins. And then adds, puts a comma in there, so that sins might be forgiven. Another really helpful tool in our day that defines Greek words, he says this preposition indicates purpose, in order to receive. And then specifically says in Acts 2:38, for the forgiveness of sins. And then another highly regarded source says water baptism is the means of realizing this conversion and its goal. Something altogether new. It is a washing, it is the remission of sins. Anything that you want to add or ask over that before I make an additional point? Okay, let's go back to Acts 2 for a second. Let's go back and see what we find in Acts 2:27. Somebody want to read that? Acts 2:27. All right, Carol. Okay, just stop right there. What translation is that?
New King James, I think.
Okay. All right, New American Standard. Does somebody have something other than the New American Standard? All right, Glenda, we'll start with you. What do you have? What translation?
ESV.
Okay.
English Standard.
All right.
For you will not abandon myself.
Okay, that's enough. Because, for, because or for, same idea. Anybody have a different one between the ESV and New American Standard?
King James.
All right. All right, King James says because. Anybody else?
I got the New King James, for you will not leave my soul.
Okay, for would be there. Steve?
I had the same New King James.
Okay, I point that out because you do have a preposition back there. This preposition is hoti, H-O-T-I. So you do have a preposition which means because. Now I point that out. Did Peter, was Peter familiar with the preposition that meant because? Acts 2:27, he used it. Could he have used that same preposition in Acts 2:38? Repent and be baptized because your sins have been forgiven. He could have. He didn't do it.
Hani, verse 27. Ice or ace? Acts 2:38. So if we believe, remember what Jesus said back there when talking to the devil in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So when we think about inspiration, inspiration has given us the right words, specific words, even down to selecting the right prepositions. When you look at standard English translations, and somebody might be able to call one, but if you start checking versions for Acts 2:38, you will consistently find for, be baptized unto, be baptized to receive. It is that forward-looking sense of ace instead of the rear word-looking sense of ace. And when you start finding translation after translation after translation that's consistent, eventually you have to say, well, you know, this guy who never had a Greek class in his life is telling me that Acts 2:38 means be baptized because your sins have been forgiven. That just doesn't wash very well. But that's kind of where you are when that discussion comes up. Anything you want to add or ask before we take a look at this a little bit more? Okay, if you have somebody who's really persistent, they'll say, aha, you are content with that word for. Be baptized for, keyword, the forgiveness of sins. me ask you a quick question about illustrations. Do illustrations illustrate, or do illustrations prove truth? Illustrations illustrate. Never forget that. Illustrations illustrate. Now, an illustration may illustrate truth, but an illustration does not prove anything. Facts are what we use to prove things. Somebody says, okay, let's take that expression, baptize for the forgiveness of sins. Somebody says, you go to jail for what crime you want to put in?
Murder.
All right, we have a headache. What do we do for a headache? Let's just medicine. Medicine, what would be the key word?
For.
All right, ignoring the top one for just a second. You go to jail for or because of. You take medicine because of. Now, this is a trick that has been tried by some faith-only people in debates. And you flash that on the board, and if I were the non-truth debater, I'd be looking, well, yeah, sure, we've got Acts 2 verse 38. It says for there, and we know what that means. For means because of. Just look at how we use the words, and you could give illustration after illustration. And on the surface, that may look like that is very, very convincing. Let's take a look. Let's go to the Bible. Let's take a look at Luke. And remember, Luke is the same guy that's writing the book of Acts. Let's go back to Luke chapter 5, verse 14. Who wants to read it? Anybody there? Luke 5, verse 14. All right, Lois.
And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded for a testimony to them.
Thank you. All right, make an offering. What's that key word? For what?
Cleansing.
Your cleansing. Well, what's the word for here mean? You make the offering for or because of your cleansing, right? You've received that cleansing. So, once again, even here, because of. All right? The question becomes, for that preposition, what's the word behind that? Is it ace? Or is it something else? The answer is it's something else. It's the preposition peri or peri, depending on how you pronounce it. P-E-R-I. So, 2 points here. Does the Bible use the word for in the sense of because of? Yes, it does. Luke 5, verse 14. But that's not the question. The question is not what the English says, but the question is, the Bible wasn't written in English. The question is, what does the Greek text say? So, when you have that, you go back and you look at the word for. What's the preposition behind it? Is it ace or ice? No. It is a completely different word. When you start having someone who comes along and, you know, they make those kinds of arguments, that may work in English. And that's why I pointed that out. For can mean because of. For sometimes does mean because of in English. But that's not the question in Acts 2 verse 38, is it? The question is, Peter used what kind of preposition? A Greek preposition or an English preposition? He used a Greek preposition. So if we're going to go back and understand what that preposition means, do we go to Webster's or do we go back to the sources that define Greek words? We go back to the sources that define Greek words. And what do they tell us? That ace or ice, that is pointing forward instead of pointing backward. Pointing forward in order to receive, just like Matthew 20, verse 26, verse 28, rather than pointing backward because of. Now that might seem like all technical stuff, but if you ever have a discussion with somebody and they want to talk about ace or ice, that's information that you need. Otherwise, the truth is not going to prevail. Gary?
Well, and for works the other way in English, too. You could say you're saving for a house or studying for a test. Those things haven't happened yet.
Yes.
So yeah. I mean, if they're saying that's the only usage of the word for in English.
Yeah, that's where they sort of eliminate that information. But if you look at Webster's, for example, you can probably find 6 or maybe 8 definitions for. But this would be one where, again, it's just trying to short-circuit the argument or the force of Acts 2, verse 38, and they neglect that. But for can mean and does mean, not exclusively, but it does mean because of. But you can't take that and say, well, it means this in this language, therefore it means this in this other language as well. That just doesn't track as far as factual information. Anybody else? Don?
You say ISIS can mean either forward or backward?
No. When we're talking about ace or ice,
okay,
it's pointing forward.
It's always okay.
Yes. And that's why I say you've got 1,700 times, and they have King James never translates that in a rearward way. Now, you might find at some point another translation that does that. Like I say, I don't know that anybody has gone back and looked at every translation, but not everybody who translates is always going to be completely honest in every passage. But at least for the King James, I can say that definitively, conclusively. Okay. Anybody else?
So are you saying we're supposed to ditch our King James Bible?
No, I think the King James actually does well there. Remember, ice points forward in order to receive. When the King James translates ice, it recognizes that. It does that properly 1,700 times. You never find out of the... You would think, out of 1,700 times, I mean, it's like making 1,700 parts. There's a pretty good chance that you're going to have at least one problem in the 1,700 parts. But the King James translators understood ace or ice so well that when they translated that, they got it right. And you would think that there would, and that's why I say people will go back and they'll look at, remember Matthew 3 verse 11 and Matthew 12 verse 41? They'll say, well, hey, that must mean because of there. You know, they repented because of the preaching that was done by Jonah. Even there, the King James translation showed or tried to show that it was not because of. They used verses, they used words like at. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. So yes, no, great translation, wonderful translation. Not perfect, but I've got many good things to say about the King James. So. Okay, yeah, I'm glad you asked for the clarification. So, no, we're not faulting the King James. Anybody else? Okay, this is kind of different. But it's in the same general school of thought. Anybody, kind of leaving faith only for just a second, anybody ever talked to someone who was a member of a Pentecostal group and they said you have to be baptized as you're going underneath the water? Here you are. You know, you're in the water. I'm a horrible artist, but anyway, there's the guy, okay? And as the person is being baptized, you have to say specific words. If you don't say those exact words, your baptism is not valid. Anybody ever come across that? Okay, one. Well, once again, maybe this class will be helpful to you. But they believe, they claim, that if you say those exact words, your baptism is okay. But if you don't say those exact words, you know, maybe you kind of get this line and that line and you're short here, it's not okay. The Bible also deals with this view, and it shows that it is not right. And we'll not look at all these passages, but when it comes to some kind of official formula for baptism, you would go back and once again start looking at the original text, and you have multiple prepositions. Sometimes people were baptized in, en, that's another preposition, and sometimes they were baptized ice or ace, baptized in the name or into the name of Jesus Christ. When you have, for example, if somebody says, this is the way to do something, might that be the exclusive way?
Could be.
It could be. But when they say, this is the way to do something, it's also possible that there is an additional way to do it. And that's what we have. We've talked about patterns as far as the book of Acts and the rest of the Bible. If you had some kind of exclusive pattern in the Bible, then yes, that would be something that we would definitely want to take a look at. But when you have multiple prepositions being used, they were baptized into Jesus, they were baptized into the name of Jesus, they were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, different wording, and you have different prepositions, most people, I think, would infer from that when it comes to baptism, what's not a big deal? The exact words. In fact, as you look, here's a thought question for you. As you look at the conversions in the book of Acts, and this is pulling from the knowledge that you currently have, would you say we have information that describes what was said or what was done? They were baptized in the name of Jesus. They were baptized based on the authority of Jesus. They were baptized into a relationship of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that's why you have those different prepositions. Not that you've got to say those. It's not a magical word. It's not a magical formula. That if you get, you don't say exactly the right words, maybe in the right sequence, or somebody stumbles and bumbles a little bit, oh, you're going to go to hell because the guy who was baptizing you didn't get it exactly right. But this is what's being done. I would maintain that if a person, well, let me just toss this out. What if you want to be baptized and you're around people who don't have the ability to speak? Would you say, I've got to find somebody who can verbally speak before I can be baptized? Well, but that's not speaking. I mean, we don't have any example. I'm just going to be contentious for a minute. We don't have any example in the book of Acts of people using sign language, do we? At least for conversions? No. So you don't have a Bible example for that. So if a person is unable to verbalize those words, I baptize you in the name, into the name of Jesus Christ, would he still be able to baptize somebody?
Yes.
Yes. Because it's not about what was said, it's about what was being done. All right, there are a couple of hands that flashed. Well, I think I'll come back to you second, Glenda. I think I saw Carol first.
I just had a question. If your salvation depended on the person baptizing you, well, that just kind of negates the whole business.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. This person is not the person that's saving you, and he's not the person doing the obedience. He's just basically like the water. It's
right. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Naaman, the water.
Yeah.
The water is a whole lot better back home. And somebody says, well, this is sort of a mud hole. I don't want to be baptized here. Well, it would be nice to be baptized in pristine, sparkling water. Maybe you got a waterfall or whatever that might be. At least a halfway clean pool. But it's not dependent on the water. It's not dependent on the person who's baptizing. It's not dependent on what a person says. Glenda? You've got a lot there with the question. In fact, you could probably subdivide that into a lot of questions. Remember that God is going to be the judge. So I don't want to pretend to have...
Why take that chance?
Okay, yes. I would take that opportunity to be baptized again with that name. All right. If you have a person, here's what the Bible says. You know, we're baptized. Unto or for remission of sins. Okay? All right, here's person X. You know, they're attending a religious group. You know, you've got a bunch of... All right, let's put some legs and arms on them, okay? Here's Christ True Church. Here we have the groups that have been invented by men. So we have two questions here. Here's the person who's been baptized for the remission of sins. First question. If he was baptized for the remission of sins, were sins forgiven? To the best that we can tell. As far as I can tell, yes. I mean, if that's what God requires, that's what we're doing. So, if we can kind of divide this up into two points. Point number one, was he baptized for the right reason? Yes. All right. Point number two, and I've actually had this in some foreign countries. Jamaica is one of the places where you'll find this. You'll find the people, they were taught the right information about baptism. They were not taught the right information about the church. So, baptized correctly. Where is the person spiritually? Well, would the person be here?
What is
this? Well, this is Christ Church.
I would say yes. He is put in God's church, but if he continues to worship with somebody, some other group, then he's taken himself out.
Okay, that's the question after baptism. Is a person in, well, you've either got, he's among the saved or he's among the lost. So there is no third category. Glenda?
No weak friend or angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so now I say again, if anyone teach any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. The whole gospel was not preached to that person who may have been baptized for the right, for the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, how would they add it to the body of Christ?
Okay. That's why I separated this, and I'm not sure that we can pull out any passage which gives us some specific answers in that, because in the first century, you didn't have the problem we have today. I mean, if you were baptized into Christ for forgiveness of sins, there was no other body for you to be in. They simply didn't exist. Denominationalism came many years later. So exactly how does God view this? This is what we're trying to break down as far as the information on the board. So point number one, I think we're all agreed on that. If you're baptized for the forgiveness of sins, that's what's happened to you. All right, after that, the question is, are you now added to this church, Christ Church, or does God say you're there? I don't want to speak for God. Exactly where a person is put, I don't know. I do know that they have done this. I do know that if a person is going to worship in error, then they're not going to be here. Galatians 1 would be one passage about that. Now, is there a period of time where God says, we also want to factor in here, you know, God's love, mercy, compassion, providence, and so forth. If a person has been here, and even if a person is put here immediately, you know, baptized for the forgiveness of sins, you know, it would be, and maybe this isn't a real good illustration. I didn't live on a farm long enough to really experience much of that by the time of age 4 or 5, we were done with the farm, but maybe somebody can help me a little bit here. Is it possible to wash a pig? All right, you've washed your pig and it's nice and clean. Is it clean?
Yes.
Yes. But, you know, 60 seconds after washing the pig, what can happen? It can go out there and enter into the mud puddle. If that is possible in the secular realm, might it be possible in the spiritual realm?
Yes.
All right, and maybe that is what takes place. Here's a person, they have done what God requires. And they have completed that first step. And yet, because of their current level of knowledge, they're going to enter it back into the mud pit, spiritually, so to speak. And that may be exactly how God treats them, where we've dealt with half the problem, but you still have, religiously, that aspect of the issue to deal with. And that was pretty much how, on a foreign field, I dealt with situations. If a person came up and said, I was baptized for the forgiveness of sins, that's what they were telling. There's nothing magical that I have to offer them that's going to change that. I mean, I can't baptize them again, and it's going to be any more special. They've already done what God requires. And if there is an issue as far as their worship, then that's something that needs to be corrected. Now, you could probably really stick me, if you wanted, and say, well, were they ever in the body of Christ or not? I don't know.
But why wouldn't that person humble himself enough before the Lord to make sure his soul is ready to go when it's his time?
But when you think about what Jesus said, what's a man going to give in exchange for a soul? Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5, plucking out an eye, cutting off an arm, those kinds of things. Then yes, I would think that a person would want to leave no stone unturned when it comes. And there have been some people who have said, you know, I was baptized for this reason. There were some things they didn't understand when it came to the church. I want to be immersed again to make sure that I've got everything lined up. And people have done that. For example, I can remember several years ago, a preacher who's not really, quote, famous in the church, but been around long enough and held enough meetings in a lot of places, and I'll not mention his name because a few here could probably identify with him or know who he is. But about 30 years ago, we were having a conversation. He said, I was baptized when he was young, 12, 13, 14. And he said, you know, faith, repentance, confession, baptism. It was either the repentance, he felt like I just really made this choice, or the confession. It was the night before. And he said, I just didn't feel good about that. Now, maybe God accepted me as far as how I did the process. I didn't omit a step, but I just thought that there should have been a step in my life on the very day, just moments before I was baptized. And he said, I do that again. So there again, I think you are looking at a heart there of a man who said, I want to do what's right. More than likely, this is okay. But it's kind of like checking the garage door when you go down. And again, that may not be the best illustration for the point, but I'm pretty sure it's down. But I just, you know, we're concerned about the security of the house. I'm wanting to make sure that there is nothing spiritually that's going to be lacking in my life. You find a similar thing that people come to at the end of life. You know, they may turn to God or ask someone to lead a prayer in their behalf that says, God, I want to make sure I'm forgiven of my sins. I know what the Bible says. I've been trying to live what's right. But if there's something out there that needs to be cleaned up, I want to make sure. So this is what I'm doing. So those spiritual safeguards to me are something that you find in the minds of a lot of people, and definitely worth considering and doing if you think that needs to be done. All right, Stan, I think you were next.
I don't disagree with anything that you said there. Let's put a wall there, maybe. But the question could be asked, what church was the Ethiopian eunuch added to? We've already determined that the person who was doing the baptizing does not influence that individual as far as their baptism. If you're just because there is a group of people assembled, maybe not a Lord's church, still you have to go back and say, the only person really that's involved there is the individual that's being baptized and their relationship to God. They're the people. So, again, I would ask, if the Ethiopian eunuch was added to the church, then why would not this individual?
Okay, wonderful point, and I'm so glad you brought that up. That really helps me. When we think about the church, and this is something that we all know, we think about the church in two senses because the Bible presents the church in two senses, doesn't it? When you think about the church, you have localized congregations, don't you? Thessalonica, Corinth, Philippi, you can just go down the list. But with those local congregations, what also do you have?
Places where there's no church.
Right, you've got the universal body of Christ, which is kind of under what you were talking about earlier. Now, your question threw me off a little bit. I was thinking in terms of congregation when you said what church was he added to. And Stan's point, I think, helps us complete the thought. So again, I'm very, very grateful that you brought that up. You could argue, and I believe that this would be correct, that when the person is baptized, they're going to be added, as far as I can tell, to that universal body. Acts chapter 8 being a pristine example of that. He was a member. Now, where was he going to worship? Well, there was obviously no church in the desert. Who knows how long it took him to get home? More than likely, that was a pretty good trip. So, if there was a congregation on street corner A when he gets home, he could go ahead and become attached to that local congregation. But until that time, he would have been a member of the quote-unquote church. Now, if he decided that he had been baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, and he's going to go home, and he thinks, well, I'm really going to miss Moses and that Old Testament system. I'm going to go down and be part of my old local Jewish synagogue. Would that have been a problem? Yes, now Galatians chapter 1 would kick in, and the consequence of that would be, no, you're no longer going to be recognized as part of the spiritual body of Christ because you rejected the right way. So that may not answer every single question, but that does propel us a little more forward as far as helping us understand what happens to people, and then depending how they process things from there, that may alter their relationship with God. So excellent, excellent point. Thank you. Dolores?
Her name was in the book of life. When she was taught
taught the difference between worshiping in a foreign way to what we should worship. She was not rebaptized, but I have no qualm about that because she was baptized for the right reason. And her name was never taken out of the Book of Life, to the best of my thinking.
Okay, let me make sure I understand what you're laying out there. We'll just put it on the board here. All right. Once again, here's Christ Church, universally, locally, and here we have the different groups by men. Person X. Okay. Part of this particular religious group, they teach baptism for the forgiveness of sins. If I understand what you're saying, because of that baptism, Book of Life.
Right.
Okay.
Just according to what the scripture says.
Okay. Some time passes. The person learns that Christ built one church. Okay. And says, okay, this is the right way to worship. Okay.
Can they not repent of having been with that Pentecostal group or whatever it is? And, I mean, do you really feel like their name has been removed from God's Book of Life?
Okay.
I can see where it would be valuable for them to be rebaptized, but I'm saying, maybe it's not something we should look at and go, they need to be rebaptized.
Okay.
That needs to be something that they decide because it's between them and God. Eventually, when it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, I think that's a good example.
Okay. Let me just make sure that I've got everything out here, and then we've got about 3 minutes left to process it all. Okay, person X decides, I've now come, I've found the church describing the Bible, New Testament Christianity, I'm going to worship in this way. And you use the word repent. Let's make sure that we define that word and distinguish that word from one another. What does repent mean? Turn away from. What does confess mean? Confess means to acknowledge, maybe privately, maybe publicly. And sometimes people, this isn't something that you mentioned, but I do want to make this distinction so everybody's thinking the same thing. Sometimes a person will say, if you're involved with wrong, you've got to confess. Well, that's kind of a whole separate issue, and unless you confess, we're not going to be satisfied. But repentance, the word that you talked about, the word that's relevant here, is that word that means turning. Okay, if you were worshiping over here with group X, which was wrong, and now you say, I was headed this way, but now I'm headed this way, I'm going to worship correctly. What is that? That's repentance. So has the person repented? Yes. I mean, that's the meaning of repentance. So the question now becomes, they've repented. They're now in the body of Christ. There may or may not be a confession with that. But the question now becomes, what needs to be done, if anything, when the person deals with the subject of baptism? Again, that's something in the cases that I've dealt with over the years. I try to talk to people and say, this is what the Bible teaches. And I've actually had some conversations specifically in Jamaica. And I told people, these are the verses that you were taught. These are the verses that you've shown me. And if I were teaching you for the first time, I could not show you any other verses. I mean, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what you did. And as I mentioned earlier with a conversation with Glenda, I don't have any magical words. Being baptized by me, being baptized by another preacher on a local island, it's not going to change that if you were baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Now, you were a member of a body that was worshiping incorrectly. That is not the plan that the scriptures have. So, at that point, I don't know that I have any Bible authority to say to a person, you've got to be baptized again. If they really were baptized for that reason. Now, sometimes in a study, and this has been common too, if you ever talk to somebody about this, ask up front why they were baptized. Because I will tell you, and this has been true for a number of years, if you start talking to somebody about baptism, invariably it is the case where they will say, oh, that's why I was baptized. And I've actually had, on more occasions than I'd care to name, we wrote it down. Why were you baptized? To person, you know, to join the church, or because I was saved. And we went through all the verses, and I said, why were you baptized? Oh, I was baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Let's go back 60 minutes in time and see what you told me. You told me, I wrote down, and you agreed that you were baptized because you were already saved. The mind does crazy things. So there have been a lot of people who later concluded that that was the reason for the baptism, and they really thought it was so. But I and others have, you know, said, these were your words. I mean, we were very specific, not to trick you, but this is exactly why you were baptized. So, going back to what Glenda said earlier, if you're going to be in that category, there had better be no doubt whatsoever. And if there is any doubt whatsoever, then that's something that God requires, Acts 2, verse 38. Remember that forward-looking sense of ice, and that's something that you need to do. But there have been some people who have been in that category. But again, if my soul is dependent on it, that's something just like the garage door. I don't want to take any chances. And if I'm not going to take any chances with the garage door, I'm certainly not going to take any chance when it comes to my